Hello there, Bikescapers. It's Bikescape, the podcast that talks about bikes, people that ride bikes, and bike culture. We're here again. I'm here with you. That makes us. And sorry, I was not around last week. I, without warning, went on vacation. And well-deserved vacation, I might add. I felt really guilty for not doing a podcast. And I even brought my, did some recording, you know, with my friend Andy, which you'll hear tonight. And I thought maybe I'd edit it and upload it, but nah, I was on vacation, so I didn't do it. I hung out with my family and had a really great time down in San Diego, where everybody rides cruisers on while they're on vacation. They ride cruisers with the seat too low. And then they go home and say, oh, it's too hard to ride a bike. I'm not going to ride a bike all the time. I felt like walking up to people and saying, put some air in your tires, raise that seat. But what can you do? It was a great vacation. I'm back. Got an interview. I want to talk this week. I had a long talk out on the street with my friend Andy Thornley from the Bike Coalition here in San Francisco. And it's part of probably what will be an on and off series of podcasts about Market Street, which is goes by many names here in San Francisco. The Slot. It used to be called the Slot in the old days because there were cable cars with a slot going down the middle. It's been called the Main Stem. It's been called the areas around it. There's South of Market, Soma, North of Market. Market's the Main Street of San Francisco. It wasn't always meant to be. At one time, the Main Street was Montgomery Street. What happened was back in the early days, the original street grid was designed around what's now Portsmouth Square in Chinatown. That was the original village of San Francisco, and a grid was made going north-south around there, and then another grid was slowly forming in what is now Soma, south of Market. And that's where the rich people lived in those days. You wouldn't know it to look at the area now, but they wanted bigger lots. So they had their own grid, and it was at a different angle. And they sort of grew independently of each other, and then they came together. And Market Street was sort of an afterthought. Market Street was put in to pull these two grids together. So it sort of goes up at an angle, and you have these 45-degree angle streets on one side, and then you have multiple streets coming, and you have these really odd intersections all up and down Market Street. And there are millions of bus lines, and you'll hear all about it. But my point is that Market Street has always been an afterthought. It's always being torn up. They tore it up to put in the big BART trains underneath the subway, and they tear it up to put in bus stops, and then they tear it up again 2 years later. It's just a state of mind. Herb Kane, the old columnist, used to write about how Market Street is never finished, and it never really got started. And right now, we're campaigning for... it seems like the most traffic that you see on Market Street is either transit or bicycles, and it when you look at it, it looks like it's all cars, but it's not. It's actually, you know, those cars take up a lot of room, but they don't actually carry a lot of people. Anyway, without further ado, I would like to go into my interview with Andy Thornley, the program director from the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Okay, so we're out here on Market Street, and we're with Andy Thornley. What's your position? You work for the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition.
That's right. I'm the program director for the San Francisco Bike Coalition, a position until recently held by Josh Hart, our beloved friend who's pedaling across Canada, as far as we know right now.
And we're standing out on Market Street, and in the corner of Market and, what is it, 6th?
This is 6th, yeah.
Yeah, Skid Row.
Skid Row, and yet it's enjoying quite a renaissance. The Bike Coalition has moved its offices here from 7th and Market back in the middle of March. So we've now been here April, May, June, July, four months, 3.5 months. And it's a big difference from 7th and Market to 6th and Market, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but you got the luxurious offices there.
They're very stunning offices. We invite everybody to please come up and visit us. 995 Market, the David Hughes Building.
I'm on the 15th floor.
15th floor. Yeah.
So Market Street's always been this point of contention in San Francisco because nobody really knows what to do with it. It's always being torn up and rebuilt and revamped, and then
planes start coming in for what, you know, people are always worried about what's happening on Market Street. And
well, Market Street, depending on who you talk to, in fact, those people maybe will tell us something also, but depending on who you talk to, Market Street is the main street, the city's main street. Hypothetically, it's supposed to be sort of the central axis of transportation, certainly from a Muni perspective. Some staggering majority of all Muni lines that at some point find themselves running on Market Street.
What are the 60 transit lines on Market Street?
Something, you know, that ends up being 80 or 85% of all the Muni lines at some point have to travel up and down Market. So
Muni, that's the bus system.
That's right, the Municipal Railway Corporation. But so from a transit standpoint, it's very much a not only a main street, but a choke point. From a topographical orientation, Market Street is laid out as a chalk line from the ferry building at the water to the peaks of Twin Peaks in the center of the city. So psychically, it has a sort of an axis sense to it.
Yeah, it used to be called the main stem.
The main stem,
because
indeed.
It connected the two veins. There's two grids that meet at a weird angle at Market Street. So on one side, the streets are at 90-degree angles, and the other side, there's these weird intersections all the way down Market Street.
The streets don't really mate up that well, and I guess, John, you told me that's because the neighborhoods on either side of Market Street were born and grew up before Market came into being.
Yeah, they wanted to have bigger lots on one side than on the other.
Indeed. So Market, in that sense, as an organic thing, is almost like a scar where tissue healed together. It's sort of an afterthought, certainly from a planning standpoint. But it ends up being a very important piece of territory that, as you noted, always gets kind of a backwards or an afterthought treatment. Nobody ever seems to start with Market and think out from there.
Yeah, and as far as riding a bike down Market Street, it's you really have to, when you stand on the sidewalk looking at it, it looks like a place you would never want to ride a bike. But then once you're on it, it doesn't feel this. It feels the traffic is slow. It's a little absent-minded, but
it is. I feel that many of the people who are driving down Market Street are doing so accidentally. They don't mean to be there. I think there aren't that many people who intend to drive on Market Street as a route. Certainly the buses and the cabs and the delivery vehicles, it's how you get to the delivery point. But private motorists who find themselves on Market Street, I think, are often frustrated and trying to get off of Market Street. So that helps keep it a little less of a speed thing.
But bicyclists always come down. Every bicyclist has to ride down Market Street at least once a day.
Indeed.
I mean, it's the route. When you stand here, you see bicyclist after bicyclist coming down Market Street.
It's one of, if not the most heavily used bicycle routes in the country. And DPT's statistics, I don't remember how recently this was, but according to the city, at commute hours, upwards of 25% of the vehicles traveling on Market Street are bicycles.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
25%. That was on Bike to Work Day, or is that all the time?
I think that's on any day. In fact, this past Bike to Work Day was basically the same kind of distribution of bicycles as it would have been on a normal day. Of course, it was raining, so that's still a wonderful thing. But a Bike to Work Day or not, a good piece of the traffic on Market Street is made up of bicycles. So even if it's not really fit for bicycling, people are bicycling on Market Street.
Yeah. All right, well, so we just, for the first time, put the very first bike lanes. Or the Bike Coalition and the Department of Parking and Traffic were behind this. And
we have to thank Supervisor Chris Daly, who represents this district in City Hall, for finally kind of pushing the point on getting some bike lanes going on part of Market Street. In fairness, I should note there have been bike lanes on Market Street west of Van Ness. For those of you listening from outside of the city, Van Ness runs north and south and sort of defines the western edge of downtown. And Market Street crosses that and goes away from downtown. And parts of that bit of Market Street have had bike lanes on them, more or less. But until a few months ago, there were no bike lanes on inner Market Street, on downtown Market Street. And as of early May, we have bike lanes on 3.5 blocks of Market Street, from Van Ness to 8th Street. So maybe we'll go down and take a look at how those work.
Yeah. Why does Market Street need bike lanes?
Why does Market Street need bike lanes? Market Street needs not only bike lanes, but all sorts of improvements and accommodations for human beings on foot and a wheelchair. Not only are enormous numbers of bicyclists moving up and down, but we, as we said, the muni buses, the city bus lines are moving up. There goes one now. We need to fix things for the buses. We need to fix things for pedestrians because Market Street, as it has evolved, is pretty unfriendly to a lot of the users. And so the bike lanes are key, but the County Transportation Authority, who exists chiefly to spend the half-cent sales tax that's collected from everything you buy here. There's a big pot of money that comes from all the retail purchases. The Transportation Authority spends that money, and they've been working on a plan to spend some of that money on Market Street for short and midterm improvements, including bike lanes eventually, although those are not really as high on their list as we'd like. But things like fixing the sidewalks to be proper widths, fixing the muni bus stops, which now sometimes involve these queer islands that are floating out in the middle of the street. Different lines stop at different islands. So there is an effort underway from the County Transportation Authority to spend some money on fixing up Market Street, and part of that will be bike lane improvements. But in the near term, we've got 3.5 blocks of sort of special, unique design bike lanes, and they do seem to help a little bit.
All right, let's go take a look at them.
Excellent.
All right, let's go for a ride.
All right.
Yeah, so Andy and I are riding down Market Street.
And you can hear my bike shaking and rattling.
Yeah, he's got a chain in his bag. Are we going to run this red light? Why not?
It's a green light now.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of the pavement condition on Market, we should notice, is sort of like the wrong side of the moon. So a little bit choppy, some irregularities.
Yeah, it's worse than New York.
One of the challenges with Market Street and any street in the city is not just bike lanes, not just dangerous motorists, but the very surface of the street itself playing hob with your safety.
We're in a little pack, you know, we stop at the red light and then there's a pack of, we got like 7-8 bicyclists.
A little peloton.
Yeah, a little peloton just sort of showed up here. And it's kind of nice on Market Street, even without the bike lane, you sort of gather in these little pelotons and you create this little bubble, bicycle bubble.
Indeed, indeed. We have mini masses going on all the time. Now, we should note the time of day when it's kind of commute time now, isn't it?
It's 10 after 5.
10
yeah.
after 5, so we're seeing some pretty good traffic. And in fact, you know, right now, bicyclists are the majority of vehicles in the piece of Market that we're pedaling down.
Yeah, not only we're probably the majority of humans making their way down Market Street.
That could be. There's some street life here. And
the cars have a way of dominating just because they look like a lot of cars. There are cops everywhere. This is the day after the big bombing in London, and Market Street is just covered with police right now. Yeah, doing this podcasting out on Market Street, I never really noticed how noisy it is out here.
It's very noisy. Listeners at home will be appreciating the rich tapestry of sound that we're providing here.
We got electric muni buses. What are all the different kinds of vehicles? We got electric muni buses with the big booms going up to the wires. Trolley buses, they're called.
Pantograph.
Right there it is. Yeah.
The pantograph device. The overhead trolley arms. The feelers,
You just heard a diesel bus going by. We don't have any biodiesel buses. They have those in Berkeley nowadays.
Wouldn't you just know, Berkeley.
And
there's
then
a scooter, of course.
Yeah, Vespa.
Lots of bicycles, more police.
Yeah, there's just cops. Oh, the kind of cops that wear baseball hats. Those are the hardcore cops.
Right, the SWAT team. The cops, not only with baseball hats, but when you see the cargo pockets on their pants full of survival food, then you know you've got the SWAT team. These guys with the big big chipmunk cheeks in their thighs. It's really nice. So we're actually now at Market Street and 8th. This is the one end of this new series of bike lanes, and here comes some bicyclists. There's a woman with a child in the back seat. That always warms my heart. One of the things the Bike Coalition is watching is the the phenomena of women on bicycles or not. It seems that women aren't as comfortable bicycling in the city, and some of that just stands to reason that it's not a very safe thing, and women may be more common sense than men, and they're staying away until it's a little safer. So it always warms my heart to see not only women biking, but women and children. And assuming that woman wasn't abducting that child, as long as it was her own child, then that's a wholesome thing.
Yeah, I know that's the perception that it's not a safe thing, but I take issue that it's unsafe. I don't know if it really... I think the chances of getting killed are much higher in a car than in a bike.
I think you're right. I guess I should say that that's certainly not the position of the Bike Coalition, that riding in the city is unsafe. It's really more of a perception thing. Statistically, as you note, John, it's probably safer to ride a bike than to be in a car, maybe even to be a pedestrian. But there is an assaultative atmosphere very often. If you are biking along, you have the perception that the cars are plausibly going to injure you, even if they don't. And that feeling of assault is sometimes overwhelming.
Yeah, that's the feeling that draws us all together and makes us so dedicated, I guess.
That's right. That's right. So
we're all under equal danger.
Right, right. Well, and then
it's that perception, I think, that makes the bike lanes worth it, because the bike lanes give you the perception of safety.
Right.
Even if they may not be that much safer, but they give you a little island, of a little space to ride in that makes you feel safe.
That's right. That's the theory. There are people out there in the bicycling world who are more fundamentalists, perhaps, and say, you know, bikes shouldn't have to have their own special facility. That's a valid position, but I think, again, to be able to extend the population of people who are riding, to go beyond who's out there now, which we'll say is, you know, 3 or 4% of the public, to get that closer to 5, 6, or even 10%,
yeah,
which is the stated goal of the city now. Official position is by 2010, we want to see 10% of all the trips in the city happening on bike. And to get to that point, you've got to go beyond the current group of people who are assertive and comfortable enough to going an extra distance and giving people space that may or may not really be necessary for safety. It certainly makes things safer in some way, but addresses that perception problem of safety, and as you say, stakes out space for bikes that someone who would be not quite assertive or maybe a little too timid to take a lane with a motor vehicle will feel, okay, now this is space for me and I can come out on my bike. So social engineering just as much as any kind of engineering.
Right. So what's different about these bike lanes? I see that they're much wider than normal.
First, we'll say, yes, we've got these new Market Street bike lanes for 3.5 blocks of Market. Of course, the rest of Market Street to the Ferry Building, which is, it's a fight. And it isn't just the lack of bike lanes, but weird skinny bits where there's an island for a bus stop. Ventilation gratings that we're looking at some here, that the BART and underground trains need ventilation to the surface, and so there are these kind of waffle cut bear trap ventilation grates, which are miserable, dangerous things to ride over.
Especially on skinny tire bikes.
Yeah, on skinny, you can get a pinch flat, you can get down pretty quickly, and I think there may have been fatalities.
There has been at least one down by Sanson, about 5 years ago.
So yeah, riding on Market is pretty tricky. But so we're really happy to have these lanes between Van Ness and 8th Street. So we're standing looking at it from 8th Street. The first thing to note is that because of the sort of peculiar topography of Market Street and the business of reallocating space, these lanes have different widths and shapes for that whole 3.5 blocks. There is not a consistent conventional 6-foot wide bike lane as you'd be accustomed to elsewhere. Here we have a bit of it that's maybe 6 feet, and then it jogs over to become a little skinnier bit, and
there's a buffer area.
And there's a buffer area. There's about 1.5 feet between the traffic lane and the bike lane. But as you move along, depending on the direction, you find that the bike lane moves from the curb lane out to the middle of things, maybe over to the left lane, where it's actually not a bike lane strictly, but it's a conventional travel lane with a Sharo marker. This is the innovative shared lane stencil marker that the city has now had become a statewide official traffic control device. It's an attempt to, where you don't have enough room to actually slice out a proper bike lane, you can still assert the shared lane idea, which is, by the way, state law. California Vehicle Code guarantees bicyclists the full use of a lane where necessary.
And just about any lane in the city.
Just about any lane in the city. This goes back to that argument of why bike lanes? And those folks who say, you know, we don't really need bike lanes, and in fact, there's a drawback to bike lanes because once you start putting out bike lanes, that implies to motorists and others that bikes don't belong where there aren't bike lanes. And I don't know how much credence I give that, but it is an interesting argument. But again, the shared lane marking idea is that you can at least assert bike space without a full bike lane, and at the same time, give bicyclists a reminder to ride away from the door zone. And as you ride around and you see these Sharos, the idea for bicyclists is to ride directly over them, to split the chevron, and that will, hypothetically, get you out away from the door zone and also out where you should be to ride around.
But there's a shared, I noticed on the back of the buses they have these, they have the little Sharo on the back, and it says, in shared lanes, share that, you know.
Bikes go here.
Yeah.
Right.
But it bothers me, I mean, I like the Sharos, but it bothers me that drivers will see that and think only where there is a marking on the street is it a shared lane.
Again, it's kind of the Indian reservation issue where here you go here, you don't go anywhere else.
Right.
And that's, I guess, a gross oversimplification. I'm sure I'll get a lot of fan mail for that. But
it keeps coming up. Even signs that say share the lane, which sounds fine, it always means to drivers, hey, share the lane, get out of my way.
Yes, yes. Well, so here we have a classic case, Market Street, the most extreme instance of not enough space to share, but many different modes wanting to share it. So a lot of it is just sort of what's possible.
Yeah.
And again, I congratulate the DPT planners, given what they had to work with. But I have begun using the snide remark that they're not really bike lanes as much as a dance lesson. It's kind of like the footsteps painted on the floor that you follow, and you step over here, and you step back, and then you step over here. It's a funny dot-to-dot kind of a thing, rather than a linear bike lane.
What do you think of the idea of, this idea keeps getting floated, of actually taking a little space off the sidewalk and having a separated space for bicycles, separated from the traffic?
Well, yeah, again, that's something that elsewhere...
On Market Street.
On Market Street, yeah. Elsewhere, that's a desirable thing. On Market Street, which has pretty wide sidewalks, I suppose mathematically or geometrically that's possible. Politically, it would be very difficult. This city has a very strong pedestrian advocacy body.
Or what about... it doesn't have to be taken away from sidewalks, but maybe a separated path in the street, perhaps, maybe some bollards or something along the side or something to keep cars separated from bicycles.
Yeah, I personally think that would be a great thing. Again, there's a lot of hardscape that you have to rearrange. We're looking now at an island, a bus stop island that's sitting between the two travel lanes. You'd have to really just sort of dynamite all of the hardscape of Market Street and rearrange it. You've also got things like there's the mouth of a BART. Hello, the BART Muni station stairway, and the mouth of that empties out here. And there's a kind of a low wall that's right at the curb. And there again, you've got a lot of these hardscape things that with enough money you could do that. But again, back to the point of people feeling comfortable, there are a lot of folks who, even if we get bike lanes the full length of Market, would say, oh, I'd never bike on Market, even with bike lanes. And so the idea of a separated, actual protected space would be another way to bring people like that out onto their bikes.
A place where you couldn't double park.
Where you couldn't double park. So
speaking of double parking.
Indeed.
What kind of problems have we been running into with this since they've been painted?
Well, these bike lanes opened in first couple of weeks of May, which has already been about 2 months ago, I guess. And the day after the bike lanes went into place, bicyclists began enjoying them, but various motor vehicles, especially service vehicles, parcel delivery, taxis, tour buses,
police cars.
We've had various professionals in their vehicles who had been accustomed to sort of pulling up to the curb, continue to pull up to the curb. And we've been joined by Robin Levitt. We're talking about bike lane violations, the new market bike lanes, and how the cyclists are enjoying them, and the motorists are gradually coming to recognize the bike lanes.
One of the things about hanging out on Market Street is you can't hang out for more than 10 minutes without running into somebody you know. Hi, Robin. This is Robin.
And not only someone you know, but a star of a former podcast.
That's right. Robin was the tour leader on the Octavia Boulevard podcast you may listen to.
One key difference here, Valencia Street, of course, the outstanding success story of transformation of a street from a traffic sewer to a more humane city street. One difference with Valencia and Market is this part of Market doesn't have the same kind of retail interaction, restaurants and shops and so forth. This bit of Market is mostly office buildings that have sort of little plazas in front of them. There's a hotel or two. Valencia Street, on the other hand, is happily rich with restaurants and shops and lots of particular things that cause people to pull over and stop as individuals.
Yes. Yes. Same thing with Upper Market.
Right. Upper Market.
Yeah.
Which has, as we said, some lanes here and there. It's not a very complete coverage of bike lanes in Upper Market.
Yeah.
But, right. Likewise, that has reasons for people to pull over and double park. So we're kind of lucky with this bit of Market. There aren't as many reasons for individuals to pull over.
Yeah, there's more like service vehicles, like FedEx, UPS.
Yeah. Tour buses, police.
Taxis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Valencia is nicely calmed the entire length. So even if you do have to leave the bike lane to pass somebody, it doesn't matter because the cars are going slowly. In fact, you tend to go faster than the cars on Valencia.
Yeah.
But Market's still a bit of a jungle, even because it's so intermittent, but it's definitely an improvement.
Well, I should put in a plug here while Robin is standing here that the Bike Coalition and its community of members and concerned bicyclists has started a campaign to examine and treat, to the extent that we can, the double parking and the bike lane violation issues on Market Street. We're calling it AMBLE, Active Market Bike Lane Enforcement, as a tribute to previous efforts, and Robin was in on one of these. Robin's going to take
that.
Well, people keep talking about it. Thanks for stopping. There have been earlier efforts, Viable, which was Valencia bike lane enforcement effort, and Humble, which was an Upper Market bike lane enforcement effort. So AMBLE follows in the proud footsteps of those earlier efforts, and we're just beginning to attack it. We're trying to really learn from what we've learned from the other bike lane enforcement efforts. So we're looking at what we learned from that and some of these other campaigns. And as I noted, this part of Market is a lot different from the other bike lane issues that we've looked at. Every bike lane is its own thing, but certainly there are some common points that we're looking at. Here we know that there are a lot of commercial and professional people who are trying to stop. And one of the things we're trying to examine, survey what the alternatives are. If you're a UPS driver and you're just kind of pulled up at the curb in the bike lane.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them there now.
There's a bunch of them there now. Yeah, here they come.
A line of them. It's that time of day.
As we begin talking to them and saying, please don't park in the bike lane, it's a $100 fine. And it is under San Francisco traffic.
Is that true for delivery trucks as well?
It's true for everybody.
No, I didn't know.
It's $100 for stopping in a bike lane. As we start to actually talk to the motorists and try to do educational work, of course, we're not allowed to write tickets, so we're really not going to be doing enforcement. But as we're talking to these folks, we want to be sympathetic to the fact that they're working. They got to stop someplace and deliver this parcel or this bouquet of flowers. So one of the things we're doing is looking around where are the places where they plausibly could stop. And it turns out there are quite a few places off Market. Here behind the Ramada Hotel, just kitty corner from where we are, Market on the south side of Market, just west of 8, there's a big hotel, Ramada Hotel. Very often, tour buses parked out in front of the Ramada. It turns out behind the Ramada, there's an alley, which is meant to have buses sitting in it and unloading.
Oh,
and
that's so, what that alley's for.
Yeah, that's what the alley is for. So we are, at this point, kind of, as I say, doing reconnaissance on the patterns of violation and who's doing it, so we can perhaps talk in a more focused way, talk to UPS all together, and talk to the tour bus people, and not just onesie-twosie on the drivers. But then also try to develop, as much as possible, some kind of helpful tips and alternatives. And I know you listeners at home are saying, don't be such cream puffs, just slap tickets on these guys. That's true. But it's everyone's Market Street, and if there is a way to be educational and helpful, we sure want to find that. Ultimately, there is too much going on Market. There's not a way to get everybody happy. Someone's going to have to suffer. But since we've got these bike lanes, the promise has been made to the bicyclists that there's a place for them. So we're sure not going to back down on that being bike space.
Yes, but we have to assert bike space.
But I would say, those of you who haven't already signed up, please become a member of the Bike Coalition. We're up to 4,500 members, and that's barely enough. Everybody who signs up becomes another brick in the wall of righteous goodness for better biking in the city.
So, SFBike.org.
SFBike.org. Thanks so much.
You can sign up online. You can buy a hat, a t-shirt, a One Less Car t-shirt.
All sorts of good stuff. And, of course, the map, the wonderful map that everyone wants and needs.
Oh, yeah.
And it suddenly ends, just like that. And gotta take off these headphones and get in some lag here. Anyway, after that, I went down and got some person-on-the-street interviews from people on the street. And I wanted to play them for you. So here you go.
Of the bike lane?
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I use it occasionally, you know. Right now I'm kind of veering over on the sidewalk just because I'm going to be turning, but it's pretty decent.
Yeah, it feels better now than it was before?
Definitely. A little wider. Does it seem wider? Is it wider or
wider than a normal bike lane?
Wider than it was.
I think it sort of shifts from block to block how wide it is, and sometimes it goes off into the middle of the lane. It's different than every block.
What I do see, though, is the motorists are continuing to just, like, you know, make a turn. You'll be going, they'll turn right in front of you, you know?
Yeah, so you got to watch out for that.
Exactly, you got to look out for yourself.
Yeah, watch out for those mail trucks over there, too.
Thank you, man.
All right, thanks.
So,
you guys want to give your opinion about bike lanes into my microphone?
They're parking lots.
Yeah.
For people picking, you know, for people delivering, dropping people off.
Yeah, that seems to be what they're for, huh?
Yeah,
I saw a
cop
reading a newspaper in his car in there.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know, did he actually give tickets for people? Like,
supposedly. Oh,
sorry. All right,
take it easy. A couple of guys making a living on a bike. Would you like to give your opinion about the bike lane into my microphone?
I love the bike lane.
You do?
I wish the cars would love them less, but personally, you know, I'm a color within the lines kind of person, so yeah. It's nice to have them.
All right, well, thanks. What's your name?
Dana.
Dana, hi. What do you think of the bike lanes?
What are you doing with the bike lanes?
What do you think of them? The new Market Street bike lanes.
They're nice. It's a step right direction, or a cycle in the right direction. But they're not enough. There's not any enforcement. But this time, we have a lot of people parking in them.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's actually clear right now, but it wasn't a minute ago.
Yeah, especially that one block. They're really bad.
All right, well, thanks. What's your name?
Pyra.
Thanks. Would you be interested in giving your opinion into my microphone about the bike lanes on Market Street?
They need to be clear.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think that it's extra parking for DHL and FedEx.
Okay,
it's more of a nuisance.
Yeah.
We need to get cops out here and ticket these people.
What'd you say? Say that again.
Ticket the people that are parking in the bike lane.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think tomorrow night, actually, at 6 o'clock, there's some people gathering over by that flagpole there. They're going to do that, actually.
I will be in Canada by then.
All right, well.
Thank you.
Glad they're doing it.
How do you feel like giving your opinion about these bike lanes into my little microphone here?
I think they're good, but I think they need to stop the double parking on them.
Yeah, do something about the double parking.
Yeah, they should have one of those little floaters around here getting them. I got the number on my cell phone. I started calling him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll give you a Forsman number.
All right, thanks.
Let's get the guy on the Colniago here. Hey, do you feel like giving an opinion about these bike lanes here?
I like them. I'm really glad about them, especially the one on that next block between 9th and 8th.
Uh-huh.
It took away a lot of the confusion.
Yeah, it's nice.
I like it a lot. Yeah, I'm really happy. I feel so much safer with it, honestly.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Nice bike, too.
Hey, thank you.
See you later.
Bye. I love bike lanes. They're not really bike lanes. They're just turning and parking lanes.
Okay. Good point. Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Tell me what you think about these bike lanes here.
Oh, well, you know, at first I was kind of off put by them for some reason, like that little skinny thing up there. Where'd it go? Well, you know, that little skinny thing where the bike lane goes between the two car lanes. And my very first reaction was, these are terrible, which is pretty much my first reaction to everything. But even the very next day, they started to grow on me, and then I realized that that is really where the bikes ride, and so they've just put some paint down to say this really is what bikes do, and now I love them. And I noticed that the post office vehicles have quit parking where they used to park, where you had to, you know, somehow get around them. And anyway, they're fantastic.
Great, thanks.
Well, Linda Atkins.
Thank you. Hey, what do you think of the bike lane?
Better if there wasn't a fucking
UPS truck in there,
parked in there.
Better.
I have to go around one every single day.
I'm really tempted to get out my old, you know, you deserve a $100 free parking sticker for being a jerk.
You got one of those?
Yeah, I had some, and I think I put them in the laundry by mistake.
Oh, too bad.
I'll have to dig them out, but they're going to be coming back.
You put it in the laundry by mistake. I found it.
Good.
Send some to Bikescape.
Okay. Shall we?
Thanks.
And that's the small sampling, non-scientific sampling of opinion out on Market Street. Some of those people, I actually have to admit, I knew. When you stand on, like you said it earlier, when you stand out on Market Street, you run into a lot of people you know. Because everybody on a bicycle rides down Market Street. And if you ride a bicycle in this town, you know everybody in the city who rides a bicycle, or you know a good many of them. And it's a little community, which is what Bikescape is all about. That's why we call it Bikes and Space. And the people that live in that space and ride on their bikes make up bike culture. So as we speak right now, Amble, the people that Andy's little group that's going to go out and enforce the bike lanes and educate people, is meeting out by the flagpole in front of the post office there, where a lot of the violations happen. And they're just doing reconnaissance. I got an email. They're just looking. They have somebody from the Department of Parking and Traffic, well-named agency. That's all they don't deal with moving people or transportation. They just deal with parking and traffic. But they're out there with them, and they're all checking it out and seeing what they can do to educate people, teach people about the alleys, and look for solutions. Because, you know, a lot of these people who are so-called violators are just trying to do their jobs. You know, I mean, give them a break. I mean, you know, the UPS truck, the guy is just doing his job, bringing the bouquet of flowers or whatever. But it's a problem, and it's solvable, and it's going to be solved, I hope. So with people like Andy in there, you know something's going to happen. Thanks, Andy, by the way, for that interview and for making time for Bikescape. And we'll make it worth your while. So that's that. What else is happening? Bicycle polo in Golden Gate Park on Tuesdays. Also happening right at this moment, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. every Tuesday in Speedway Meadow in Golden Gate Park, just east of the polo fields, along the bike path that angles down from JFK Drive. Balls and mallets provided. Everyone is welcome. Easy to learn. Go to geocities.com/bikelet, B-I-K-L-E-T-T, for more information. That's a pretty nice little bare bones, but a very nice website. The big ride that's going to be happening, for those of you who are into the long rides, Double Century. It's going to be July 23rd. The ride starts and ends up in Marin County in Novato, and then circumnavigates the entire San Francisco Bay in one day. The Marin County Bicycle Coalition is one of the sponsors. I don't know who else is sponsoring. It's got something to do with the Bay Area Bicycle Coalition, which is a coalition of coalitions, I suppose. Anyway, they're looking for volunteers, so if you'd like to help them table or whatever, if you don't feel like actually riding but you want to be part of the fun, you can call Bob Trigg at 415-456-3469, extension 3, or you can email him at bob@marinbike.org, and you can probably get more information at marinbike.org. You can look at the show notes at bikescape.blogspot.com for all these links, and I'll also try and remember to put a number for the Department of Parking and Traffic if you want to complain about people parking in the bike lanes. San Francisco news, Potrero Avenue is striped. The new bike lanes are striped, and they've removed a car lane. Those are the kind of bike lanes I do like, almost unreservedly. It's a very simple issue, unlike Market Street, where we have a limited amount of room to share. Potrero, big, wide avenue, fast traffic. All of it's being calm now. We've taken a lane away. When you're driving in a car, you don't have to jockey for lanes. You're always in that same lane. You have left turn pockets, just like on Valencia Street. And there's a nice wide space for bicycles. And pedestrians have a much easier time crossing the streets now, too. The bike kitchen, the San Francisco bike kitchen. Last week we talked about or the week before last, we talked about the Los Angeles bike kitchen. But there's one here in San Francisco. They are looking for a new home. Where is that? Yes. They won the Golden Wheel Award from the Bike Coalition. They teach people how to build and repair their own bikes at low cost. They've been around for a couple of years up here in San Francisco. Their home in the Mission is being torn down in March. So they're looking for a new low-cost or free space to continue to provide their valuable and affordable service to the community. They currently have 1,000 square feet. They got a really nice space. It's too bad. But they're looking for help. So contact thebikekitchen@yahoo.com. I'm going to cut this a little short, but I want to see what else there is going on that's really important. Oh, the Tour de Fête, Saturday, July 30th. Bikes and beer, what a great combination. Check it out. It's in Golden Brigade Park at Speedway Meadow, the same place where the bike polo happens. Don't mess up the grass and watch out for those gopher holes. It starts, July 30th, as I said, Speedway Meadow in Golden Gate Park. There's a cruiser bike parade at 11 a.m., and then they have what they call the Ballyhoo from noon to 5 p.m. A ballyhoo of bikes and beer in Golden Gate Park, sponsored by the New Belgium Brewing Company, makers of the acclaimed Fat Tire beer. This is not an endorsement. I like beer, and Fat Tire is not bad, but it's okay. But it's free. It's free beer. We're talking free beer here, folks, so get your asses down there. You can expect fire-jumping bike acts, hopefully not too drunk, cycling games, cruiser bike parade, live music on a solar-powered stage, no less, tasty eats, and great beer, of course. And all proceeds go to two great nonprofits, the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition and the Bay Area Ridge Trails Council. Of course, the last Friday of the month is Critical Mass, Justin Herman Plaza at the foot of Market Street. We're just going to go really quickly through LA here. Critical Mass, Central LA. Central LA Ride now meets at Western and Wilshire at 6 p.m. at the Metro stop. Santa Monica Critical Mass is the first Friday of every month, the first Friday at Central Mass in Central LA is the last Friday. The Santa Monica Critical Mass is the first Friday of every month at 7 p.m. at Colorado and Ocean in Santa Monica. Midnight Riders is taking place taking a 1 month hiatus, it says here. Need a little breather from Bike Summer, they say. I'm reading this from the Bike Summer, Kitchen LA website. But they're saying go ahead and ride. If you want to be on their mailing list, you can go to their website. Look on the, I'll have to dig that up and stick that on the show notes. I promise I'll do that soon. Click. One last thing here. Let's look for New York. New York's got the usual stuff happening, but I'm going to cut it short. 6:30 p.m. Union Square South on the 29th, the last Friday of the month. Still We Speak is a rally to promote what doesn't need promoting, but I guess in New York you have to promote your right to speak. And that includes congregating in a park without a permit. It includes being able to ride down the street with your friends as traffic. And they have a permit for this, so you won't get arrested for going to a Still We Speak rally. Park your bike somewhere else if you don't know what's good for you. And then when the rally's over, you can go to Critical Mass. That starts at 7 p.m. Union Square Park North. Also, there's a beach ride to Jacob Reese Park 10:30 a.m. on the Brooklyn side of the Williamsburg Bridge, or 11 a.m. on the Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn. You can meet in two places. That sounds like fun. The Riverside Ride is at 10 p.m. Did I say that the beach ride is on the 31st, the last day of the month? On the 30th, the Riverside Ride meets at 10 p.m. in Columbus Circle. That'll be the day after Critical Mass, so stay out of jail and you can go on the Riverside Ride. Thanks for being with us. I want once again to welcome all the new iTunes listeners. Thank you for subscribing. iTunes makes it so easy to subscribe to the podcast. If you don't know what subscribing to a podcast means, if you're just listening to this in some random way, sometimes it's up on Indie Media, sometimes you hear us on the Critical Mass Radio Network, sometimes you hear Bikescape just going to the blog and clicking on the links at bikescape.blogspot.com. But the best way to get into Bikescape, to really feel it, is to subscribe. And it's very simple now. You get iTunes, and Bikescape is now listed under Sports. They have a new new category called Transportation, and I would like to get into that category as soon as FeedBurner makes it possible for me to do that. Enough techie talk, but subscribe. You'll be able to get the full feeling of Bikescape. It's like a little soap opera. You get to know all the little details about bike culture and moi. Anyway, in honor of bike lanes, let's see if I can dig this up here. I have a song about driving. But it's about people swerving in your lane. And see what you think of this. Robert Earl Keane. Oop. Let's try that again. There we go. Bye, everybody.
Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. 'Cause sometimes all my days are filled with rain. As I travel down life's highway, things ain't going my way, 'cause there's always someone swerving in my lane. You keep a swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a honking on my horn, I'm a shooting you the fine. Keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just a dim to know when you're swerving on life's highway. You're running someone off the road. The day you drove away, I thought I never could love. Keep a swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a cussing out your name, I'm a shooting you the finger. I keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just too dim to know when you're swerving on life's highway. You're running someone off the road. Pass you. Oh, when I do, and if I'm
shifting it on in to overdrive. But you're just swerving in my lane, and it's causing lots of danger. I'm a stomping on the foot feed, I'm a shooting you the finger. I keep a switching on my bright lights, but you're just a dim to know. You're swerving on lights.